The preparation of Saul. When you hear that, it's got a certain ring to it, don't it? If you've been with us for a few weeks, we've been in the book of Acts, and we've been looking at different things that's happening here, and it's a wonderful book of the Bible like they all are. Last week, if you didn't get anything out of the sermon, hopefully you got that here's this guy named Saul that the Lord turns into Paul, and he was a rascal. He was killing people, dragging them through the streets, trying to imprison them. He did not like the Lord or his disciples, and he was on a rage and a terror to wipe out Christianity. In the midst of what he was doing, the Lord comes and shines the bright light. We know the story. We're familiar with it. But he said, "Hey, what are you doing persecuting me?" Saul says, "Lord, who is this, Lord?" And we know that story, but the volume, the depth of how God, in the midst of evil, takes someone who is so evil and against the Lord himself and saves him, turns his life around. That proves to us over and over and over, there is great hope for me, there's great hope for you, there is great hope for the world's worst sinner. What a merciful God we serve. Well, now Paul, here we see some more. We saw the conversion, and now we're seeing the preparation that Saul needs to go through. If you look at the scripture, it's verses 10 through 18. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hand on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hand on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized." All that had happened here in a short period of time. What could Saul be thinking? What could be going through his mind more than we will ever know? And the change that was happening to him, and he needed somebody to come alongside him. He needed somebody to say, "Listen, I'm here for you. This is a new convert." What kind of a new convert? Well, there's just one kind. He's been turned around. His life's been changed. He's been saved. A new convert needs somebody to come along beside them. You and I, we might have been saved a year or two, 5 years, 20 years, 50 years. We still, in our Christian journey, need someone to come along beside us. Let us know we have a friend in the Lord. To let us know that I'm with you. I'm here to help you. And this was what the Lord had set up here. And you can call the Saul Paul here a special convert if you want to. I mean, from what he was doing to who he is becoming here, it's wonderful. And here's this guy by the name of Ananias. Don't know much about him, but he plays a very important role. Because now, you know, and you read in the scripture here, we read, and he says, Ananias says in so many words, "Now, Lord, I know about this guy. Excuse me. I've heard about him. You know what kind of fella, you know, he was or is, or I don't know how what he had heard or knew." And he's saying, the Lord said to Ananias, "I want you to go." Now, if someone told you that, pick the worst guy you can think about. Maybe he's overseas. Maybe it's somebody that's been converted. You don't know all that. But the Lord speaks to you and says, "Listen, I want you to go talk to whoever that person would be." And they've been killing Christians now. They've been dragging them through the streets. You know all about that. Been throwing them in prison, killing people. And the Lord speaks to you and says, "I want you to go talk with them." Might be like Ananias. "Now, Lord, listen. I know what they've been saying about him, but Ananias listens." Ananias listens. Would I? Would you in the same situation? Well, why is Ananias so special here? We don't know a lot about him, but he's a devoted guy. He's a godly guy. And he must have been a person that the Lord could trust. He was alert. He was sensitive. Now, you got to understand, and I believe you do, without me going over it and over it again, about the reputation Saul had and what he had truly done. And Ananias has been asked to go talk with him. So Ananias has to be a man of God. He has to be alert in his spiritual mind and senses. He has to be listening. He has to be prayed up. He has to be walking with the Lord to carry through and to hear this. So I believe he is a man of prayer. And he answered just what the Lord wanted him to do. Difficult situation to go come alongside this new convert and to help him. So he takes the job, so to speak. And he's got to have faith. He's got, if a new convert comes along, where do you start? In our life right here, in the youth group, in the church, in children, where do you start? Well, how much biblical knowledge does this person have? You know, what do they know about the Lord? How much understanding? Where do we begin to teach? Where are we going to start in discipleship and that kind of thing? Well, Ananias was the man, and he listened to what the Lord said. Now, the next slide is important. Ananias was willing to be the answer to prayer. How many prayers do we pray? You say, "Well, you know, on a given day, a given week, or a month, or man, when I'm in trouble, or whatever." How many prayers do we pray, and how many are we willing to be part of the answer for? I believe God sits in heaven and says, "Listen, if you're going to pray it, be willing to be part of the answer." And that's where he loses some people. "Well, I'm going to pray this, I'm going to pray that." And he says, "I want you to be willing to be part of the answer to that prayer." And then all of a sudden he looks around and, "Well, where's my people? Where are they at?" Ananias was willing to be part of that answer. And he went to see this new convert. And all that he was noted for, Ananias goes right on. So, the new convert needs somebody to come alongside. We still need someone to come alongside, no matter how long we've been saved. And Ananias, he says, "Lord," and this is a huge paraphrase, "but Lord, you know this guy. You know what he's been up to." But he still listens, and he goes. What Ananias is doing is he is sensing, "I'm inadequate for this job. You know, if you want somebody to disciple this guy here, you better get somebody else." You need to get somebody else that knows more than me. You need to get somebody else that maybe be more eloquent than me. You need to get somebody else. All he's doing, he's feeling inadequate, about like I do every Sunday morning. Inadequate to take on the job, but yet he had been called to it. So he goes and he does it. He knew all the former life. He knew the threats, the killings, the beatings. And he's feeling inadequate, so he had to cast himself upon the Lord. See, when you feel inadequate to do a job, that's a sense of humility before the Lord, and then the Lord's power comes on you to fulfill the job. Amen? How many of you feel inadequate to do whatever in a Christian life? Anybody here? You feel inadequate to do some of those things? Well, join the club. But God said, what? I'm going to empower you to do what I call you to do. So get up off the pew and do something. Well, I got one or two. Amen. Right? Get up off the pew and do something. Well, I don't either. But when God's calling you, he's going to help you. And he did that for Ananias here. He had a task, man. He was feeling inadequate. The council had a prayer meeting the other night. Didn't have a business meeting. Now we had a prayer meeting. Somebody on that council prayed something like, Lord, you know that I feel inadequate for this job. I want to do what's right in this area of the church, but I really don't know that I know how. And I feel inadequate. And as I listened to that prayer, I said, we've got the right guy. I said, we got the right person. To myself, that's the right one. Because the attitude was right. The humbleness before the Lord was right. And I don't know exactly what to do, but Lord, here I am willing to do it. And a little light went off. We got the right guy right there. Ananias was saying the same thing. I'm going to have to throw myself upon you, Lord. I'm going to have to really rely upon you to get this job done. And that's a good place to be. Look at John 15:5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Just goes right along with what Ananias is saying, what we're talking about, feeling inadequate. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. We know that. So it's nothing new to us. We should be aware of such things. Ananias is willing to obey. Okay, Lord, I know all this guy's been, but here I go. I'm going to learn. I'm going to obey. To obey is to believe, and to believe is to obey. Now, what's that again? To obey is to believe. If you obey what the Lord says, you believe. And if you believe in the Lord, you will obey. Is that true? I'm asking a question now. Is that true? It is true. If you obey that and you believe, if you believe, you obey and do what the Lord says. To obey is to love, and to love is to obey. If you love, you're obeying the Lord. If you're obeying the Lord, you're loving him. If you're loving the Lord, you're going to obey him. Goes together. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, to obey is better than sacrifice. Well, Ananias, he was a chosen man. He had a job for Paul to do, but all that was happening here, blind for 3 days, and all that was going through Paul's mind, and God said, I've also got a special assignment for you, Ananias. I want you to go minister to this new convert. I want you to come alongside him. So don't forget that. About you may be saved for however long, and then there's a new convert in your life someplace, then you come alongside that person and help them John 15:16 on the screen. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I didn't just walk up to the Lord one day and say, "Hey, Lord, here I am. I want to be saved." The Lord had the plan before I was thought of, so to speak. God had the plan from the beginning. Jesus fulfilled that plan by dying on the cross and the salvation experience. He brought it to us. And we're not just choosing Him, but He chooses us and appoints us to go and bear fruit. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. God chose us. I asked you last week, and I don't know if you've thought about it anymore or not, but I said, do you know how important you are to God? Do you know how valuable you are to God? Do you know how much He loves you? And of course, we go back and you've heard it all your life. Well, He showed it. He proved it. He sent His Son to die. That's all still true. Even though it may be familiar, it's still true. How valuable are you to God? Very valuable that He sent Jesus to die for you. Well, Luke 9:23 on the screen. Then He said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's not a deep secret. He's telling us plain what to do. Look at in Titus on the screen, 2:12. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So God's chosen us. We're valuable to Him. He loves us enough that He sent Jesus to die for us. And He says then, if you know, hey, all that's true. All that's fact. All that is, it's in black and white, so to speak. And if any of you would come after me, you deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. And I'm teaching you to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So He says, here's the facts. Yes, I love you. Yes, I've died for you, Jesus says. And here's some things for you to do. And if you obey me and you love me, it works hand in hand. If you love me, you're going to obey me. You know, and if you obey me, that's showing me that you love me. And here I'm telling you a few things you need to do. To bear the Lord's name, you and I as Christians, bear His name. Paul, Saul, have you ever thought what was going through his mind again? You know, this guy, I mean, he was full of evil. And he was going to stamp out Christianity. I'm talking about, he had an agenda. And he was bad to the bone, so to speak. Then the light comes. He can't see. He don't eat for 3 days, I think the scripture said. And somebody's got to lead him around. Lead him over here. Where are you going? He can't see. And he's got to take that all in. Now, he's got a human body like me and you, and he's got to take all that's happening. He's got to take it in his mind, his heart, and his soul, his being. He's got to let all that sink in. And how broken he must have been. How heartbroken. He has realized, I was wrong. I was so wrong. Did he think about saying, stone old Stephen, let him have it? What, I'm thinking about the woman I dragged through the streets. I'm thinking about children. I'm thinking about all that I've done. I am so wrong. And I'm ashamed of that. all that was, he had to process it some way. Man, you think he needed Ananias? I believe he did. You think a new convert needs somebody to help him along and assure him? And when Ananias had to be listening, had to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so he would know to go, and he went, and then what did he do? These words, Brother Saul, or Brother Paul, what did it say? Brother Saul, yeah. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, you just coming here, he sent me that you can see again, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Brother Saul. What's that mean? It's saying, Saul, you're going through all this, and yes, a lot's happened to you. But he puts his hand on him, and he says, Brother. And he knows, he feels, you know, I am accepted. You know, I am forgiven. You know, I am a part. This guy, he just come up and he said, Brother. Brother Saul. He had to process all that. And all that he had been through, it was like a confirmation to him. Yes, all this has been happening. And yes, the conversion has happened. And now, here's this guy who calls me brother, and guess what? The scales come off the eyes. He could see clearly again, and that's just simply symbolic of taking the blinders off of his eyes and getting rid of the sin that he could see clearly. The scales fell off. Darkness when you shut your eyes. It's dark. Can't see if you shut them. You open them. And the light does whatever it does in there, Doc. You want to come tell us what it does? No, really. The light comes in and it, whatever it does that God ordained and created, and you can see. Spiritually, he's saying, man, I was in the dark. Yes, I was lost. And now, I'm in the right place, and God's had mercy on me. Well, there's a lot we could say further about this situation, but I want you to look at the last slide. And it's so important for us. A believer who was sensitive to God. That's Ananias. A believer who was sensitive to God. Now, we say we're Christians, we profess, we say we want to be Christ-like, we want to grow, we're a disciple of Christ. So we must, as believers, be sensitive to God. Ananias was. Now, we got to be sensitive. So to be sensitive, we got to spend some time with God. That was brought up in Sunday school this morning, that we get so busy that before we come to the end of the day or something, we realize, I've not spent any time with God. I've not asked His opinion, I think that it was said. I've not been before the Lord in prayer, and I've just went through the day, and here I am at the end of it, not even talked to God. That's not the way we want to do it. We want to talk to Him. We want to be sensitive to Him like Ananias so we can help a new convert, so we can do what the Lord would have us to do in that day. Be sensitive to God. Be prayed up. Be in the Word. Ananias was a believer who was willing to be the answer to prayer. He was willing to be an answer to prayer. Okay, well, what are we going to pray today? What have we already prayed today? We'll be willing to be a part of the answer to that prayer that you prayed. A believer who would obey God. Well, now, wait a minute. I'll obey God when I see how it all works. I'll obey God when it feels good. I'll obey God when he sends me a letter and I get it in the mail and it says, "Dear Ron, this is God. Go do this and that." Never got a letter in the mail, have you? From God. So I'm going to have to be sensitive. I'm going to have to be willing. And Ananias obeyed what God said. And he come along Saul at that time and said, "Brother Saul." And that helped prepare Saul for what was ahead. God said, "This is my vessel right here. I'm going to do some marvelous, miraculous things with him. Now, Ananias, you go over there right now. Meet him." And, you know, I don't like to read into the word, but encourage him, show him, that kind of thing. Okay, the beeper went off, I'm done. Will you and I, will we? Hello? Will we together be sensitive to God, be willing to be part of the answer, and we'll obey God? Will we? I pray we will. Stand with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love. And God, how many times have we in a sermon or in a Sunday school class, small group, when people gather to study your word, how many times have we read this story? And thought of that blinding light that was brighter than the noonday sun. And Saul falling down, "Lord, who are you?" And you telling him, "You know, you're the one persecuting my church." And in the midst of evil, your mighty grace and power and forgiveness comes to him. Thank you for the hope that the worst of the worst can be saved. And thank you for Ananias, who was sensitive to God, who was willing to be part of the answer, and who obeyed God. Father, we'll go many different directions this afternoon. We'll go many directions this coming week. And I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone in this sanctuary this morning that will say, "God, here I am. I'm going to be sensitive. I'm going to be willing to be part of the answer. I'm going to obey you. Speak to me." And I just believe you'll take us places that we might not even dream we'd go this week with different people. Inadequate to do the job? Yes, I am. And as a human feeling, we feel that. But we know with your power living in us, the blood of Christ shed over us, and the power of the Holy Spirit, we will walk in victory because of you. We will be singing victory in Jesus this week because of you. And we're going to be willing to help somebody else along the way. Give us the name. Give us the face. Speak to all of us just now in your wonderful, wonderful way. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.